Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show with Donnie C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff. They talk about union workers' opinions, concerns, and questions. Call in and join the conversation at 347-324-3752.
This is going to be a fast show. Scott's got to be at work at 9 o'clock tonight, so it's only going to be about an hour show. Scott, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, just groovy. I'm groovy.
All right, man. Far out, man, I tell you.
I'm hip. I've been watching a whole bunch of Brady Bunch. So that's why, you know, they say hip and groovy and things like that.
Oh, well, anyway. I kind of lived through part of that with you. So, you know, anyway.
We'll get going here so we can get you going as fast as we can. Because I know you're a hardworking man. Hey, by the way, I heard that they shortened up the axle line. Where, you know?
Oh, boy.
Did they? Did you hear that, too?
I've heard that. I don't think you are incorrect. I could just... I mean, you've seen it, I've seen it. I'm just trying to visualize what that's going to appear to be if you shorten that up. Because, you know, those rear axles aren't small to begin with, right?
No, I used to call them on.
Right. And I know that they get a hoist to pick, you know, the one that they needed to sequence. They'd put that up on the line, and then they would start, you know, putting cables and all the stuff that needed to be hooked up to that.
Right.
And I'm just trying to imagine if they shorten that up. I mean, are you guys going to be like elbow to elbow?
Yeah. Here's what I heard. I heard that they shortened it up because too many people they had too much ass time. Now I used to set axles. Team and I can't remember how many was in it. Now eight. I can't remember.
I think you're right. I think it is eight.
I think it is eight. And I don't know how they could shorten that lineup. When I was quality, we got some wrong cables once in a while. And
right.
If they're working faster, we're going to get a hell of, well, not me, but the line's going to get a lot more cables that are wrong. And those are a bear to, once you set them and have to tear them apart. So that
right.
Didn't make...
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the cable thing, because we need to pause that for a second, because I've got to realize... These cables come in sections. People on the line have to go over. They look at the manifest or the build sheet for that particular axle. And
right.
They have to grab the right parts. You know, usually, you know, part A goes with part B, but sometimes part A goes with part C. You're going to be rushed. I see what you're saying. You're going to be rushed to keep up because they've made the line shorter and you're all on top of each other. And when you need to reach over and grab those adjoining cables that you need or the brake lines that you're going to need, you know, you want to make sure you grabbed the right ones. Because like I said, people like yourself, you'd catch it down, you know, down
right,
right past the axle. So a lot of people would catch it because they know it's not the right one.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think that's going to put time constraints on the operators.
Well, absolutely.
And I'm wondering
if that... Running into each other and all I can't... Just because they got a few minutes break in between, but, you know, what the hell's going on?
Right, but you know how they did that. They worked their butt off to fill them racks up.
That's right.
People who are listening, on the sequence axle line, material would bring an empty rack down, sometimes two empty racks, and then they could put two racks on the line. Excuse me. They put two racks on the line. When they set those up, material delivers those lines down to a staging point closer to where the axle line's at. Huh? And what happens is if they get the manifest, which allows them to build, you know, that many parts up or ahead, they take a break until they, well, not like a break, but they would set waiting for a rack, an empty rack to come back so they could go back to work.
That's right.
And they would work. Now, if they didn't work real hard, and most of the crews around there have all been together for a while now on all three shifts, so they know how to work together as a team. And they get this done. They build these parts up, and they stay ahead of the line. I'm afraid with what you're talking about between quality issues and maybe some safety issues involved in this, because there are a couple hoists involved, that they're going to have a hard time keeping up with the line now.
I believe you're right, and that's right. They have to wait for the rack to get back to them to fill it back up. And it's just like in the old days, everybody said material drivers. Let me tell you, what you were reading 20, 30 years ago in the paper was bull crap, because let me tell you how material drivers did it. They worked their backside off all day, went through the breaks, they worked through their lunch, they worked through their other break to get an hour off. And that hour was actually owed to them because they filled up everything. And all of a sudden, well, they don't work. Looking, they're just walking around doing nothing. But you didn't see them for the 7 hours they were busting their butt. And that really,
right.
That's bad. Go ahead, Scott. I went off.
Oh, no. Well, you're right. And you're not off the point. You're right where we need to be with that. Because, excuse me, what happens is when people see them, they don't understand. You know, you need to go there and look at these people and watch how they're working together as a team to accomplish the feat at hand and what they're trying to do.
Right.
And it's pretty amazing. And I'm thinking, this could be a hindsight on management's plate, because what if you run into trigger problems are they going to be able to catch up? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Are they going to, because when the manifests aren't coming out, are they going to be able to catch up to the line again? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, realistically, you and I would look at it and think it's possible that management, by doing this change, could put them in the hole and keep them behind.
That's right.
And I'm sure them people will only have one speed, and it won't go no faster than that. I'm just, you know, I mean, you need to work safely.
Yeah, Scott, is that when they come in tonight and tomorrow, they're going to be some problems. The way they have
it. Oh. Well, yeah. There's going to be some speed bumps or hiccups, whatever you want to call them. There's going to be some issues.
Right.
Especially if they didn't know what was going to happen.
Let me ask you something. If you're going to make a change like that, wouldn't you get a hold of the team leader, first of all, and the people that do the job? Why in these pinheads always make changes without discussing it with the worker, which is the expert on the job? Because I guarantee you, you can put a supervisor on that job, the line's going to shut down.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what, 90% of the supervisors in that plant, like I said, 90% of them, wouldn't know how to run, do a job in their area, or all the jobs in their area.
You're right.
That's a given. And under paragraph 8, management has that right. They do. Could it be done completely different? Absolutely, it could be done completely different.
But
They preach
teamwork. They preach teamwork, but they just go ahead and do it. They don't discuss it with the operators or the team leaders. They just go ahead. But when it benefits them, we're a team. How many times have you heard?
Right. And I agree with what you're saying. If you and Cindy were going to build a state-of-the-art, completely off-the-grid cabin, wouldn't you get a hold of somebody that probably knows what they're doing?
Right.
Because for those who don't understand what I'm saying, completely off the grid, I mean, you're not dependent on the electrical company for their electricity, whether you're doing hydropower or wind power or solar power, and the supplying all the components that go together, so you can run your house off the grid like that. You'd want to get a hold of a professional, because if you're doing things like with the solar and with the wind, you need to wire things up back to an area to where you're going to have, I think they're deep cycle batteries that are going to store all this energy that you've, captured. And if it's the same thing with hydropower, if you're going to do something like that, that's going to run into a generator, and that generator is like a reverse generator. It's going to charge these batteries up, so you can store the energy like off of a water wheel, so to say, so that you could, get this. Well, you wouldn't just go down to Ace Hardware and ask the guy, well, I'm going to do this, but what do I need to get this done? You might get a guy that's pretty smart and give you some ideas, but you're going to want to bring somebody that's professional. And when you're talking about setting jobs up, there's no more of an efficient, professional person who's doing that job. They'll tell you what can happen. They can tell you what's going to go right, what can go wrong. They'll tell you every aspect if you just ask them. They'll give you the safety aspect. They'll tell you what they think the line would be able to do. If you just ask them, they could probably tell you the changes that you'd need to make. And you're right. I think it's bad business, because you're saying it's teamwork and we're all part of this team, but that's awful funny. We don't get treated like a team member.
No.
You come in and they say, oh, by the way, surprise. There is a thing that's called professional courtesy. And now you want that same respect in return. Well, after so many slaps in the face, I don't respect you anymore. I know there's going to be some changes made. They were going to do some more work in the body shop that I know of. They were going to change some other cell layouts. I don't know how that all went out. I could probably say about that more next week. Like I said, I know there's some things that they had to move around because they're tying the building. By the way, they're making leaps and bounds on that new building, if you haven't seen. But we told by the other day, to see what was what it's looking like, and it's wow, things huge.
They're getting it up there pretty fast,
and they're about halfway across with the tube going across between our plant and the new paint plant. But to get back to the people on the line over there, concern would be to look at it from a safety aspect, and how safe is this going to be for us to do this job? My next thing I want to look at is ergonomically, is this going to be causing problems ergonomically wise, you know, as far as twisting, turning, pulling, did they change the hoist so it's easier to use the hoist? You know, there's a lot of factors that go into this, you know, and you just have to be concerned. And I, like I said, I would hope that they've talked to somebody from the axle line, which I'm sure they didn't, because they just tell them what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, my concern is not just the physical layout. Did you cut somebody else off the job? That's the other thing I don't know. Did they shorten that up? Did they remove somebody off of there? Because everybody listening to the show from our plant tonight, we've lost a bunch of ARs. We picked up a bunch of flex workers that was forced into, well, they say they weren't forced. They signed into it. But we have flex workers now at our plant. Huh?
They were pretty much forced into the flex working situation. Either they were going to sign up or they were going to get put in. So
right. And they told them that if they signed up for it, that you'd be one of the, you know, one of the first ones hired. Well, newsflash, folks, we've got a bunch of temporaries in there for over a year and they haven't hired them yet either. Okay. So, you know, and then they cut a bunch of ARs. So that ought to be real interesting to see how, you know, how this all plays out tonight, because I'm sure there's more changes. I'm almost positive of it. You know, if you move stuff around in the body shop and, move some stuff around. I know they wanted to extend the hood and fender line. excuse me. I didn't know if that's going to add jobs. It would seem like if you're going to lengthen the hood and fender line, you're going to maintain the speed of the line, that you'd need more people. I don't know what else is going to play out. I don't know yet. Hopefully I'll find out something, you know, like I said, tonight. But that axe line, it's a concern.
Right.
If triggers go south, I know I'm going to keep repeating this, but if the build sheets fall behind, that line can only run so fast anyway. And, you know, management could literally put themselves in a hole while they're holding the line, you know what I mean, waiting for axles to come down there.
Right.
And now that affects more than just the people who are on the line. Now it's going to affect the material driver who has to get those racks to and from that area. You know, because, I mean, I don't know if people think this all the way out, you know what I mean? These engineers, they don't think the whole process all the way through. So,
they do. There's more than just the axle line going to be affected. It's going to, whoever has to bring the axles to them, it's going to be quicker. It'd be all right if they talked to the people and they said,
right,
you know, they could look at it. They're the experts. Whether people want to believe that or not, the people on the JOB is the expert.
Right. I mean, you've got one driver who set the axles from the storage area to the line. You've got another driver that takes the finished product from that line to a staging point. Then you have another driver who takes them from that storage point or a staging point and takes it out to the line. So now I'm going to possibly be affecting three different material drivers. I'm going to be possibly affecting chassis one because they could be waiting. And you know how they freak when the line goes down.
That's right.
And it'll be nobody's fault but their own for making a change.
This could
really blow up in their face, I think.
I don't see how anything good could come of this, but people don't get hurt. Because when you swing in a hoist, because I used to set the axles. I did it for years. You can swing that axle or swing that hoist back, and you can nail somebody if they're in your area. And if you are elbow to elbow, you're going to hit somebody.
Yeah, and they're not tiny axles. We're talking between 500 and 750 pounds.
Yeah.
Depending on the axle you're picking up.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I think, you know, that thing's coming at you. You know, you put your hands up, you know, you ain't going to stop it. Bowl you over.
Myself, so I know you're not going to stop.
So, well, you know, that's just, you know, one thing that we've heard about. I mean, I don't know what else has been done. Well, I'll let you know next week. But
that's all I've heard so far, but I'm sure there's more. I'm sure there was a edict that says that it's tried to move people, eliminate your job, do this and that. We'll see from you next week on that.
Right, right. And like I said, you cut your manpower.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to get into some email here since you're running out of time. You had, for the people that don't know, Scott's got to be at work at 9, so we're going to cut the show off at 8 tonight. It says, Scott, thanks for the information on TPP. Everyone should read it. I cannot understand why Obama is pushing this on us. This brings up another question I have for union workers. How can you support this president? I voted for him 2 times, and I'm sorry for it. How can the IUAW support him? Barbara from Lansing. He is pushing this TPP. He wants this done, and I believe the Republicans, if anybody ever listened to Mitch McConnell, he said they can come to an agreement on trade. This involves more than trade. This isn't just trade. Like NAFTA, it's not. I've got a tape of Walter. You remember Walter Cronkite? He was Daddy News, man. He was a big man in news at CBS for years, and people listened to him. President Johnson didn't run for a second term because of him. Well, I've got a tape where it says that we're going to have to the Americans are going to have to lose some sovereignty and some of their rights, but they'll get over it. And this is because he's all for the new world order. And
right.
This is part of it. And I've got that tape, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I don't have to lie anymore while I'm not on the air anymore. So that's what he said. And guess who was in the audience? Hillary Clinton was. Yeah, Miss Democrat herself. Anyway, Democrats, and well, you know how I feel about that. Democrats and Republicans are one of the same.
Right.
All right, here's another one. Scott,
with Barbara?
Yeah, we got you now.
Real quick, you know, this TPP thing, like Don said, this is more than just a trade agreement. This is going to affect law, American law, business and trade laws, It's also going to affect international trade laws. It's going to take power away from the United States of America. It's a nasty, nasty animal. A lot of people don't understand that the Republicans and the Democrats are both cheeks on the same butt. Putting it nicely. Okay. One's the left cheek, one's the right cheek. That's all this really is anymore. They're still connected to that same part of the body. So there's other agendas. It's just much bigger than just a political party viewpoint. You have to really look into this trade agreement that they want to push. And why does the president want to push that? I have no idea. I mean, from my opinion, it's to take away from the national sovereignty. It's to take power away from the states. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. And it might offend some people, but I'm just saying, look into this TPP. And if you're a working man or woman, or if you're a union brother and sister, look at this thing. Look at it very clear. You know, take off the glasses, read it, put the glasses back on, then put on a different set of glasses and read it again. Because it's not nice for anybody that's in that makes less than, I would say, $150,000 and down. This isn't gonna be nice for none of us at all. You need to look at this thing because you have to also wonder, why did Bob King, the outgoing president of the International Union, so UAW, why did he support this? He's on one of the subcommittees pushing this. And
that's what I would tell
Barbara is to look at this. You know, I can't tell people who to vote for, but Don and I have been saying this for quite some time now, and even Dick said this. You need to look at the people that you're going to vote for. It doesn't matter which party, where do they stand. Look at their history. How did they vote? This is all some of the stuff, because we know a lot of people were, some of these people were great people when they got elected. And once that money starts rolling across their desk, it happens. That's just how politics are nowadays. You want a bill, you want a law passed, how much money you got?
Look how much money they have in their bank account. You can get that statement. I think Kerry's worth $250 million, and that's without his wife, which is a part of the Hines
family, right.
Yeah. But just his own money alone, he's made $250 million. Now, somebody needs to tell me how in the hell he did it. But that's it.
Right.
You can go to Republican side, too. And John McCain, he's third or fourth on the list without his wife's money, which is she's big in Budweiser.
Right. The Bush family.
So, yeah, the Bush, yeah.
Yeah, was it, well, is it Sousa from, I think he's from California, isn't it? Sousa? I think he's the top money maker.
Who's from California? Oh, Pelosi?
No, I thought Sousa. I thought he was from California, too. I might be saying his name wrong. His dark hair.
They all,
I think if I remember, I read an article about that, and he said he was the top guy at setting almost at $1 billion.
That's pretty good. They come into politics with, a few hundred thousand dollars, maybe they have because they're smart people. And they leave within years, or they stay there for decades, and they only make $170,000, well, I'm guessing $170,000 a year. Also,
I think
you get
over almost I think they're at $220,000 a year now. They got a pay raise.
They got it. Oh, I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We reach one. Let's see what one is. Scott and Donnie, after your show last Sunday, I read fine on TPP. Oh, this is about TPP. I was shocked at what I found. Monday, I went to work and asked some coworkers what they knew about TPP. Nothing. They said nothing. So I printed out articles I found, what you have on Facebook, and handed them out. One person read it and said Obama would never do this to America. The rest were too lazy to read it. This is NAFTA times 10. This is not just about trade, it's about our freedom. Why are people in the UAW so blind to the fact that both parties are the same? It took me a long time to realize this. People in the UAW better wake up, or they will be in for a rude awakening. That's James and Linda from Arlington, Texas.
That was James and Linda?
James and Linda from Arlington.
James and Linda. You're absolutely right, James and Linda. I mean, that, in my opinion, I think you're spot on. And I think there's a speeding freight train rolling down the tracks, and it's heading right our way. And I agree, people need to wake up, and whether it's denial or self-denial of the fact or whatever, it's not going to change. That train's still rolling. In fact, on the on the Association of the Machinists and Aerospace Workers, International Association, they had an article that I put up on Facebook on workers, workplaces, and unions, and it was Bernie Sanders, who's an independent from Vermont. And, I mean, like every politician, they've got some good points, and sometimes they got some bad points. Bernie likes to say a few things that offends a lot of people from both sides of the parties.
Hold on for a minute. Bernie is a self-acclaimed socialist. He'll tell you that right off the bat. So, yeah, but he did. He's totally against this. But go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what he said was, and I'm going to quote him, he said, "This is incomprehensible that the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, a massive free trade deal being negotiated between the United States and 11 other countries, has not been made available to Congress." Well, not been available to all of Congress.
Yeah.
But you're right. Bernie will tell you that he's a socialist right up front. But, you know, if you remember, wow, it's been 3 years ago, Bernie Sanders, he had support. And notice I said had support, had come out with the same thing that Dick Danjen and we have talked about 4 years ago. You want to fix Social Security? It's easy. You pay, everybody pays a percentage on every dollar earned. Don't care if they're only making $10,000 a year or if you're making $10 million a year. You all pay the same amount straight across the board. And guess what? That takes care of Social Security. Bernie and had that. He had backers. He got that down to the floor. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And he got down there, and they all bailed on him.
Bailed like chickens.
You ain't kidding. And they left him there hanging. Well, you know what? He sat there, and he argued his point anyway off the floor. And he was right. You know, and what'd they do? They weren't going to hear none of that. Neither side of the house was going to hear that. He's just a crazy old man. And they left him. And of course, that bill didn't go nowhere. But he put it out there. Nobody else would do it, but he did it. You know, so, you know, he's done some good things. He's, you know, he's done some different things. But that was one of the good things he tried to do. And they hung him. They did. They hung him out to dry. And I'm sorry. So go ahead and continue.
Okay, this is from Jennifer from Fort Wayne Truck. This is a big year for the UAW. I wonder how much money they are going to offer us this time to give away our benefits and wages. All my coworkers see a nice bonus. They do not see what it costs them in the future. Can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe people will see. And Jennifer, thank you, Jennifer, Fort Wayne Truck. Well, Jennifer, go ahead, Scott. Talk to Jennifer.
Wow. We've been talking about this.
Absolutely.
Probably 3 years, 4 years. When Dick was every Sunday with us.
Well, I talked when I started this show before you and Dick joined, when we were getting slaughtered on every newscast there was, I started this show because of that. Well, not just because of that. One lady said we were making $180-something an hour with benefits, of course. What the hell? Where do they get that? The little bow tie guy? Maurice?
Mordecai or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Maurice. Yeah. I wanted to be there. Slap him. Silly. This is a who was sitting there acting like he knew what he was talking about. And it was all putting us.
Right. And Gettlefinger sat right next to him. Never had a clue what was going on, but never stopped and corrected him. Who was it that corrected him? Rick Wagner, CEO of the General Motors Corporation, told him that's not really right because total labor cost is only 7% of the vehicle. That was in 2009.
Right. Wagner stuck up for us.
Yeah.
He really.
The CEO of the company did.
Yeah, and while the president of UAW sat on his thumbs, now he's in Kentucky sitting on his thumbs.
Some bourbon. Isn't that Kentucky bourbon or is it Kentucky whiskey?
Bourbon and whiskey.
Bourbon. Right. So, Jennifer it was, right?
What?
Jennifer, it was Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer, you're absolutely right. I mean, Don and I can tell you going back, quite a while. If you go back to the mid-80s contracts going to the present one, everyone has been concessionary, or we've made concessions on everyone's contracts from that point going forward. And you're absolutely right. The higher the signing bonus, the worse it is for the workers. Last week's show, I think it was last week's show, didn't I read a quote from the International President Williams?
Right.
Saying that, they want to help keep the companies, the corporations competitive. That's not his job, Jennifer. His job is to take care of us.
Yeah, with the southern plants, we got to keep competitive with the southern plants, with the Honda, Toyota name. They're down there. Why he's sticking his nose in their pocket? No, I don't.
Well, I don't want to be, like I say, I don't want to be rude about this, but, rude. You got to understand also that, what's his name? President Williams is also a personal friend of the President of the United States.
Yes.
So he's a big advocate for the president, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Well, it does, but with what her point is coming with the contract talks. If we're going back to the 2007 agreement, I told everybody, do the math on the contract. You're going to lose $15,000 a year.
A year, yeah.
A year.
That's right.
And here we are, going where we're at right now and was it $15,000?
I believe
$15,000 a year. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you know, so you go forward, and you know, here we are. We're looking at the better part of, you know, $90,000 that the 2007 agreement has cost us, or more. When the deals come out from like contractual matters, you're absolutely right. You need to pay attention. Everything has a cost.
And they took away
somebody
from
has
the,
to pay for it.
They took away from the retirees. They took some benefits away from the retirees. And the whole thing is.
And they took money. They just took money away from you.
Every time they offer you money, guaranteed they're not doing it because they like you. They're doing it because they have, in that contract you're about to sign or vote yes on, they're going to get that money back in spades.
Oh, absolutely. Probably within the first year of the contract, they've recouped all that money. And you're right. It's to sweeten the pot. It's to tempt you into that agreement and vote for that. That's what they want. Like you said, that's why they offered the money. And the old saying has always been, and it's rang true, don't believe me, ask our brothers and sisters out in Washington State what happens when they offer them $15,000 and they give away they capped off their pensions. It cost them $15,000. They thought that was an excellent signing bonus, and people bought it. And then when people realized what was happening or what had happened, they wanted to get the money back, and they tried to go back in and get a revote on that contract. And, of course, it wasn't going to happen. Boeing won that.
Right, Boeing won. Now, when you go into the Union Hall and they have international reps up there on that stage, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you the goodies that you're going to get, which is very little. They're going to tell you, even if you got a little bitty raise, you got to look at the big picture. But they'll get up there. But I'm not talking about Barry at 598. I'm talking about previous. They go along with the program. They don't tell you everything. They don't tell you. And we had a guy that was a head negotiator. Who I'm talking about, and I won't mention his name.
Yep.
He did not say this is a terrible contract, don't vote for it, it sucks, and everybody lined up and voted yes, and here we are. How you doing, Jane? Jane's in we wondered where you were, young lady. Or is that your husband? I don't I don't want to call him a young lady. And
yeah, right.
We would love to talk to you, Jane, about what's going on down there in Chattanooga.
We talked about you
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet here, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, we started back quiet. And by the way, we are going to, you know, I don't know how many people how many people listen to the show, because people take our, like we do on Facebook, put them on different websites, so I don't have a clue how many people listen to the show. But we have enough through Blog Talk to keep it going, and we do want to talk to you, Jane, when you have time. Maybe next week, 7 o'clock, if you can make it. We'd like to know what's going on down there. What's that, local? Local 42?
Local 42.
Local 42. We would love to hear from you.
Local 42 in Kentucky, and was it local 162?
No, it's
126 in Alabama.
No, it's 42 in Chattanooga, I know. I think. I think I know.
Right. Yeah, it is. You're right.
Oh, okay.
It's 42. But
all
remember,
right.
they did another. They built an, they did another local down in Alabama.
Right.
Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, they did
after
the same
42.
Thing.
After 42.
Right.
So, but yeah, we'd love to, you know, if they could share some insight what, you know, what's going on down in Tennessee. That'd be awesome.
If you could let me know in the chat room or your husband, could you, if you can? Yeah, it's local 42. Thank you, Jane. Scott knew it. I didn't. If you can call in next week, we would love to talk to you. We talked about you about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We were hoping you would come back to the show. All right, here's the last final email. I haven't read it, but we'll see what it is. Thanks for doing this show. This is a very important year for all of us in the UAW. I have been wondering what happened to the other guy that was doing the show with you last year. He was retired from the IUAW. I wish he was still on with you. He had good information. I hope this will be a happy year for all UAW members. And that's Larry Jensen from Spring Hill, Tennessee. It's probably my fault that he's not with us, Dick Danton. He wants numbers, how many people and all this. I might as well bring it on out. He wants numbers on how many people listen to the show. I have no clue because it is all over. There's different, they take the show. You can put it on your Facebook page. You can take it and put it on your own homepage somewhere. So I don't know how many people listen to the show. Apparently somebody told him something different. That's fine. And he got, I guess, ruffled his feathers. I don't know. But we do miss Dick, and I wish Dick would come back because it was a good show. You know, he had good information, and that's all I got to say. It's probably my fault. It's nobody else's fault. And we're going to be simulcast somewhere in Virginia with this show. So I'll definitely, you know, I don't know how many people listen in Virginia, and it's connected with Pennsylvania, so I don't know exactly. Yeah, I won't know the numbers. And they don't even know the numbers. So it's my fault. I apologize to everybody that like to talk to Dick or whatever, listen to Dick. It's my fault. But that's how I do business. That's how I always done it. And, of course, I'm paying for this to get on, and I'm trying to get advertising. And that's the bottom line of it. And Scott had nothing to do with it. We didn't do it during the summer. We talked about it a couple of weeks before the convention, that we were going to have one show after the convention and take the summer off. Apparently he didn't get the, or he didn't hear us say that. I don't know if that's the case, but we took the summer off, and that's how it is.
Okay. Well, you know, we do miss Dick's insight. Especially with the contract year coming up, he didn't know the ins and outs of these organizations and some of their tactics. The ploys that they would use. We're trying to do the best that we can to let people know. Look, you got a contract coming up. All you got to do is vote no. And ask to see the results. I don't know how we're going to, it's again, I'm trying to think who is the Russian says, I don't care how the people voted. It's who counts the votes. It's all that matters. A lot of these locals are influenced in saying that they have to have a pass. We're looking at cost of living. We're looking at pension. We're looking at raises. We're looking at ending the Tier 2 language completely and making those people completely whole to be just like us. So there are no tiers at all. Seniority employees. I refuse to be called a legacy worker. That's very ill-willed towards me, I believe, to refer to me in such a way, or my father, or a retired friend that's doing this show here, or his father. You associate with something that you guys didn't know how to run your own business. That's not my fault. We do understand that with these issues that are coming up, they're still making manpower cuts at most of the facilities in the big three. They're always looking for ways to cut costs, and normally it's on the workers' backs. You would hope that the leadership of the International Union would not make comments like he did a couple of weeks ago in the paper, to where he says that he's concerned for the well-being of the corporations. Who's paying? And the game changer in that whole thing when it comes to Michigan is Michigan is now a right-to-work state. We've had that discussion on the show also. But with all these issues that are coming across the negotiation table right now, you're absolutely right. You need to pay attention to what's going on. The retirees, and what have they done with the retirees? They've increased their health care costs. They've taken money out of their pocket. I mean, sure.
Scott, hang on. Jane, yeah. Put something. Got you by your computer?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's writing something. She wrote something down, and she's right. You could read it out loud.
You want me to read it out loud?
Well, of course.
Somebody come out and they said competitive wages with a question mark. Sounds like the neutrality agreement. Good grief. Aren't they trying to get the Works Council up the big three now? If you're listening, Bob King said that would have a good fit at the big three. As far as we know, they are not trying to push that. Like I said, it depends on this language around the Works Council. I've talked to somebody else, and they said that style Works Council would be illegal here, like Dick would say. And I talked to somebody else, and they've also said just the opposite, that it depends on how there are different Works Councils and different language legalities around that language as to the utilization of such language. And as far as I know, they're not trying to push it big three. We knew that Bob King said that that would have a good fit up north. And when he said that, he was referring to the big three, the big Detroit three, and which is Ford, Chrysler, Ford, Fiat, and General Motors. I should say Fiat / Chrysler and General Motors. Because we got back in December, Chrysler was completely bought out by Fiat now, right?
Right.
Yeah. And Fiat's going to make a Alfa Romeo for the States, by the way. going to be an exotic sports car that's going to be street legal here in the States. But anyway, it's interesting to see how this is going to come up with this calendar year or this contract year. There's a lot of issues. There's our base wages. We haven't had a raise in well over 13 years now. You're dividing the working class and the people, the brothers and sisters, into different tiers. You're allowing outside suppliers to come in and do bargaining unit work now, which is doesn't bode well for our membership. You have a cost of living that I believe that we should be getting back. I think they need to work on the language with the skilled trades or Division II workers. I think what they've done, like especially like at Chrysler, implementing the work schedule, alternative work schedule that they're putting these people through, it's like working the old paper mills. It's terrible. And then the retirees are their own entity on this whole thing because there's so many issues. there's so many issues going on around the retirees, from their health care costs, the VEBA, the pension money, the catch up, the $750 a year around Christmas time to help offset some of the costs. There's a lot going on around. Oh, and what prescriptions aren't covered too. I know we did get the dental and optical back for retirees, but there's a lot going on around here, and this is a really big year, and people need to pay attention and don't listen to all the sugarcoating that the representatives are going to try to sell you at contract time. Ask them these tough questions. Ask them exactly what this is going to do to us.
We're running out of time, but Jane said, exactly what will the union be? I don't have my reading glasses on. Excuse me.
Oh, what will the union be bringing to Chattanooga? Tell me once again what are three things a union is responsible for: wages, benefits, and working conditions. Absolutely, 100% correct. She's right. Wages, benefits, and working conditions.
She wants more about our working environment. She knows more than most people that it belonged to QAW. She's done her homework, and that's why I enjoy her or her husband. Yeah, he called in once, and it was awesome. I don't know how they feel. I don't know what people are feeling about it down there. And I don't understand how you can start a local. I don't know. I just don't understand it. If so, why are they giving two of them to, I can't read, three?
These work councils.
You get a point.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, before the show's over real quick, just want to throw this out real quick. You heard the announcement that Chevy's going to make a new, what they call the Bolt, B-O-L-T.
Yeah.
It's a $30,000, 200-mile, all-electric crossover coming to Detroit. Gee, didn't we have that in the EV1?
We did.
At this point, and you guys heard us, and you've heard us talk about that before, too, and I know we're running short on time, but I just thought that was funny. We're going to bring that back. Are we going to be able to buy this one, or is that going to be leased?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a question.
But,
I can lease the circuit from you, even if you want to buy it. I don't know. But the Bolt for $30,000, and it sounds great, but they don't tell you anymore.
Right. Well,
and we're running out of time. Scott's got to go to work. let me just say this for everybody, because we do get emails from with Dick Danjen, and if you need to get a hold of Dick and have a question for Dick, that's Workers, Workplaces, and Unions on Facebook. He'll answer your questions, I'm sure. I wish he was back on the show, but hey, it's out of my control. A lot of people that want him back to help them, help all of us. But if he doesn't want to, I can't twist his arm to come back. But he's
right.
More than
and hopefully. Hopefully, I need to interrupt real quick. Hopefully, somebody. I was unavailable to get down to Detroit today. They had the protest down at the auto show.
Right.
Hopefully, somebody like Brother Holderson or somebody else. And I know there's a couple of people that we know at the plant that probably went down there. Hopefully, they would somebody get us some information how that went today also.
Absolutely. And Jane, please don't be a stranger. We like your information. You're the only connection we have to Tennessee, Chattanooga area. If you would, please come back. And it's nice seeing you, and I hope you have had a great Christmas. And I hope you have a happy New Year. I really do.
She knows more
than I do.
Right.
All right, everybody.
Right.
Scott's go to work and toil a little early tonight. I want to wish everybody a good night and be safe. Be real safe tonight, or you
Scott
tonight for the week. And we'll see you next Sunday at 7:00. Tell your friends, tell your countrymen, and. I hope to hear from Jane. Fax her first at AOL.com. FAXER1ST at AOL.com is the email. Jane, email me and tell me what's going on. FAXER1ST at AOL.com. All right, Scott, don't work too hard tonight. I know it's going to be a mess.
Yep. All righty. Night, everybody.
Good night. We'll see you next time.